Speak your mind with your online group. Build a better group. Use the newest voice conferencing service available. TalkShoe. Talk with everyone. TalkShoe. That's TalkShoe.com.
TalkShoe. Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 12 of WordPress Weekly for Saturday, April 5th, 2008. I am your host, Jeffro. I'm also the webmaster of Jeffro2.0.com. As you should know by now, WordPress Weekly is not affiliated with Automattic in any way. If you would like to participate in today's show, either voice your opinion through the TalkShoe web client, or you can use Skype out, a landline, or a cell phone and dial 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID number is 34224. You don't need a TalkShoe account to participate. Simply follow the directions given to you via the audio prompt to make an anonymous call. In today's show, we are going to discuss WordCamp Dallas that took place last weekend. And after we go ahead and discuss that event, we're going to move on and discuss the release of WordPress 2.5. And what I'm looking for today, if anyone out there is listening, I've already given out the phone number, and I'm looking for either anyone that actually attended WordCamp Dallas to call in and share their thoughts or opinions regarding specific keynotes or sessions or the event itself. And later on, I'd really like for anyone out there who has upgraded to WordPress 2.5 to call into the show and share your upgrade experience. You know, perhaps you've had some problems or you're looking for some help or just want to give your overall opinion as to what you think of WordPress 2.5. That's what we'll be looking for later on in the show. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the panel of guests that will start off with the first part of the show. All of these panel guests were actually in attendance at WordCamp Dallas, and we'll start off by introducing Ronald Eureka of RAProject.com, who I finally got to meet in person. Ronald, what's going on?
Not too much, man. I'm just hanging out at my computer.
Just another lazy Saturday, huh?
Yeah, got my Jack and Coke and eating a snack. That's about it.
Jack and Coke. Now I know from experience that you like Jack and Coke.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. And next up, who we've got to see in person, was Mr. Jacob Santos. Jacob, what are you doing today?
Pretty much try to build a theme for Santos J, but realize I'm just probably going to create something that's really, really simple.
And I noticed you told me that you purchased a new microphone, and as far as I can tell, you're coming in loud and clear. There's no more Matrix Jacob.
Yeah, I think one of the tips at the conference was get a USB mic, and I went out and bought a USB mic. So that's one of the things I captured from the WordCamp Dallas.
Nice. Well, it's coming in loud and clear, and we're looking forward to seeing what your opinions were of the event. And in fact, you were one of the ones who had your own session there, so it would be interesting to talk about that. Next up was the guy who kept the back seat of a rental car company throughout the entire event, Patah Dunbar.
Thanks for the introduction. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. And Patah, before we get to the end of the show, I have an interesting, funny inside joke story to tell you regarding Monday for Frisco, Texas. I think you'll find it quite funny.
Oh boy!
But
if you're gonna tell an inside joke, you gotta actually explain what the joke stands. I mean, you gotta explain it.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly inside joke. If anybody was here during the after show, or if you know anything about how in one of the previous episodes, Patah Dunbar was actually online via Skype, was being part of the show as it was being recorded, and outside in his backyard, there was a tornado moving through Atlanta.
And, yeah, that's pretty funny.
I'll just say the story has to relate to tornadoes. It'll be pretty funny, I think. And our last guest today that will is going to be talking about his experiences with WordCamp Dallas is Jonathan Bailey of PlagiarismToday.com. Jonathan, glad you could join us today.
Hey, glad to be here. I'm hanging out in the back cave of plagiarism fighting, so I'm calling from home finally.
Oh, man, I tell you. Okay, so we got our guest panelist here, and let's just start off with the event. WordCamp Dallas was held last weekend. It kind of officially started Friday, March 28th. And for those of you that had tickets to attend the conference, you might have gotten an email from Charles Strickland about a attendee meetup that happened at Dave and Buster's late Friday evening. And we'll go ahead and start off with our trips in. And let's see, I didn't arrive in Dallas until somewhere around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And thankfully, Ronald got in earlier than me. He was already at the hotel. He was staying at the hotel that I was staying at. So we were at the same hotel. And as I got in my rental car and I started driving down the highway to get to the hotel, I found out that I passed the hotel by 30 to 45 minutes. I passed the exit to get off to get to the hotel. I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, I was in a little rental car, and it's unbelievable the amount of construction that was going on from.
You totally missed your exit there.
What's that?
But you totally missed your exit. You're away. I think you even went to Oklahoma, I think.
No. I didn't go that far north. I was going north, northeast. I ended up in McKinney, Texas. If anybody knows where that is, that's way northeast of Frisco, up by about a half hour to an hour. And only then did I realize, uh-oh, I think I'm lost. But eventually I got back to the hotel, or I got to the hotel, checked in. At this time, it was about 6:30, and, you know, I wasn't much for driving. I didn't like driving, so I kind of talked Ronald into being the driver, and me and him went and picked up Patah and at the airport. And that was interesting because that at first I know who Ronald is. He's been on the show for a number of episodes, but I've never been able to meet him in person. So it was kind of interesting when I met him at the hotel. He was at the bar drinking a Coke, right? It was a Virgin Coke.
It was a Virgin Jack and Coke.
Yeah, Virgin Jack and Coke or whatever that is. But I met him for the first time, and because we've discussed various things, you know, through the after show, through the blogs, through comedy, through emails, it was almost as if I already knew him pretty much, and there was no need for introduction. So we kind of said, hey, how you doing? Hey, how am I doing? Hey, let's go pick up a towel. Okay, let's go. It was as if we already knew each other. So went to the DFW again, picked up a towel, and but that was a real cool dude. I was looking for somebody. No, but Ty, you were coming down to the gate, and I was looking for somebody else, and I didn't realize you were you, so to say.
Okay.
He snuck up behind both of us.
Yeah, that he did at the airport. And but Ty, explain to us why your plane was so late, or why you came in at the time that you did.
The situation was that I was flying on the buddy pass, and basically my original flight at 11, departing from Atlanta to Dallas, arrived at 3 o'clock, but that got pushed back because the flight was full, so I had to go to the next flight, which then took me to New Jersey and then to Dallas, so that's what happened.
Now, when you say buddy pass, that is a special discount where as long as there's open seats available, you can get a discount. Discounted price ticket for a flight, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, it just boggles my mind how you're in Atlanta, Dallas is west of you, but you had to go all the way up to New Jersey only to come all the way back down to Dallas. That makes no sense.
It's the airline.
And which airline did you fly?
Continental.
Okay. And, Yeah, I ended up flying American Airlines. I'll just say that I realize now why the prices for the plane seats were so cheap. It was like being a sardine in a sardine can. That's how tight it was in this tight tube. But picked up Batai, drove him to the hotel. He checked in, and then me, Ronald, and Batai ended up going to Dave and Buster's, where we ended up getting to the tail end point of the meetup. It was just at the point where Charles Strickland was giving his kind of welcome speech for anybody that was in attendance. I think there was about anywhere between 40 to 50 people there, and that's when the meet and greet started to take place. And at this point, I had no idea who anyone was. That's where we ended up at Dave and Buster's. We ended up getting our name tags. So I got mine. Ronald got his. Patai got his. And then looking around, I finally came across Nathan Rice of NathanRice.com. So it was pretty cool to talk to him.
.net.
What's that? Oh, .net. NathanRice.net?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy. He's going to send me an email. But then I also got to meet Corey Miller of iThemes. That was pretty cool. Had a chance to finally meet Charles Strickland in person. That was nice. And I did get to see why Laurel is a firecracker. Everybody that was in attendance seemingly got a hug from her. I mean, wow, that woman is filled with energy. She's like a little nuclear power plant of energy. It was really cool. That's when the meet and greet started to happen. And Jonathan, how did you end up? When was did you get in for the meetup on Friday?
Yeah, my wife and I, we drove up from New Orleans, guided the whole way by our little cell phone GPS. It was kind of funny because every time we would go near the power line, it would screw with the signal, would like show us being in India or something. Like, take a right turn to Abu Dhabi. Wait, what? But we drove up there. We got to the hotel at about 4. We stayed at the hotel just across the city line in Plano because apparently, you know, you shave off like $20 a night if you just have a Plano address rather than a Frisco one. And it didn't put us that much further from the event. But, you know, we went to Dave and Buster's. We got there pretty early, actually. When I got there, it was Charles, me, Liz, Laurel, and about, I'd say, 14 other people, and a lot of people came in as the event went on. But yeah, it was a fun time finding everything in Dallas. Dallas is a pain to navigate, though, especially if you're new.
Yeah, and the funny thing is we call it WordCamp Dallas, but the actual event was held in a city north of Dallas called Frisco. And when Charles mentioned on his podcast that Frisco was one of the largest or fastest growing cities in North America, he is not kidding. I have never seen the amount of construction either on the roads or through retail establishments in my life. I mean,
You've never been to Dallas before, have you?
No, well, no, I've never been to Dallas before.
That place is always full of construction, always.
But I mean, through Frisco, every retail establishment that you could imagine, even IKEA furnishings, was located in Frisco. It was unbelievable. But,
I actually wanted to go there and buy some furniture to check it out, but, you know, driving, I don't want to lower my miles per gallon ratio by carrying this large desk or whatever, so I chose not to.
And, and for Ronald and for Jacob or Jonathan, for anybody that was actually driving around in Frisco, how would you guys describe the road network compared to any other roads you've driven on? Because here in Ohio, you know, we just don't have the population that apparently Dallas or Frisco does. So I'm pretty much used to seeing two-lane roads and a center lane to turn left or turn right. But in Frisco, you've got two dedicated lanes on the left-hand side of the road, and you've got three or four other lanes that are just driving straight. And, you know, the roads kind of reminded me of Texas Motor Speedway. You really had to do some swift lane changes and drive really fast to get anything done.
Well, I've done a lot of driving in, like, you know, Atlanta, Phoenix, Arizona, and even Dallas and Austin. And I think it's very comparable. Like, if anything, the driving in Frisco reminded me a lot of Austin, the way they had their freeway set up and their side streets.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Here in the roads here in New Orleans, and minus the Dallas didn't have the man-eating potholes we have here in New Orleans, but other than that, the roads, as far as they were constructed, were very similar. I saw the layout and the grid and so forth.
I thought it reminded me of Del Mar, where my sister lived, as well as some of the neighborhoods, Columbia, Maryland. But that's pretty much as far as I can contrast and compare. The grid structure wasn't that defined, but I'm pretty sure with a couple more months or years, the grid layout will be much like Springfield, to where if you drive left, you can go north or south, and then drive back to where you were.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, because in Ohio here, you have a center lane that you can turn into various establishments on the road, but because the lanes were so wide and so far apart in Frisco, the two leftmost lanes would allow you to make a U-turn. So you'd make a U-turn, then you'd have to switch lanes all the way over. You'd have to switch three lanes after you make your turn in order to get into an establishment or turn onto a road over on the other side. It was just, it was really weird, but apparently it works. I didn't see much in the way of traffic in the city of Frisco.
It's a lot like Florida in that regard, actually. It's like if you drive around in Orlando, the city, not Disney World.
But so that's just a little bit of the experience there in Frisco and driving around. And so we'll go ahead and move on up to the actual event, which started off at about 9:30 a.m. That's when registration began. That's when you would walk into the Frisco City Hall, and Charles and the volunteers there greeted you, and that's when they handed out your name badge and your WordPress T-shirt. After that, you kind of walked in, got to walk around and meet everybody.
Yeah.
And what's that?
I just want to point out that they didn't have coffee until like 30 or 45 minutes after WordCamp started, both days. And I think Charles is pretty upset about that.
Yeah.
That I didn't know. I just knew that when he gave his speech that he said there was coffee out in the lobby.
Which you couldn't bring in.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You couldn't bring it in. The Frisco City Hall people said under no circumstances are you allowed to bring beverages into the actual hall itself. But later on, I have to admit that I did see people drinking things that could have been closed with a bottle, you know, bottle water, bottle Pepsi, things
yeah.
of that nature. But I'll kind of keep that in the DL, although it's too late.
I had a little sports bottle as one of the speakers, and I just sort of toted it around with me. So that's kind of hard to spill. You have to be trying really hard.
Yeah. But starting off the event was Matt Mullenweg himself. He ended up coming up to the podium, and he did pretty good for having four wisdom teeth taken out earlier in the week. Yeah, he said he was in pain, but the way he was talking, it didn't seem like he was in that much pain. Obviously, he was, though. It was actually funny because Friday night, Ronald, Patan, and myself, we were starving. We were pretty hungry. And we ended up getting out of Dave and Buster's, and we met up with Charles Strickland, Aaron Brazell, and Mark Jaquith, and we all met up at Bennigan's. And we're all kind of talking about, or Charles was trying to come up with a backup plan as far as what to do if Matt Mullenweg was drugged up on pain medication. So that was pretty interesting. We didn't know how drugged up he was going to be.
What do you guys think of Matt's presentation of 2.5? Because he pretty much announced it right as WordCamp started, and I was on my Mac, you know, typing away, trying to get it out to the public. But I just also thought his presentation of WordPress 2.5 was really great.
Well, I'll admit, let's see, RC2 was released on, was it Thursday, was it Friday?
Something like that.
Or was that RC3? It might have been RC2 on Friday. And then Saturday, I think early, maybe it was RC3 on Friday. I think it might have been Friday morning, RC3 was released. And, you know, it was kind of discussed throughout the WordPress community, you know, what if WordPress 2.5 was released at WordCamp Dallas, and we were kind of joking around about it. I didn't think it was going to happen based on the release candidate schedule. And it turns out, though, that WordPress 2.5 was released as Matt was giving his presentation. I mean, just minutes before he gave his presentation, he...
literally as he was giving his presentation.
Patel was actually showing me on his iPhone that 2.5 had been released, and I'm like, no, it isn't. So I went and checked, and I'm like, well, it still says it's a development release, and I was like, dude, this is 2.5 being released right now as we speak. And finally, when Matt said it, I'm like, okay, Patel is right. I'll eat my words.
So. Yeah, and then, I mean, I was just floor struck that it was actually released at WordCamp Dallas, and as I was looking over to my right, Ronald Eureka was typing up a small post for weblogtoolscollection.com, and thanks to him, WLTC was one of the first websites that had the information down, got it out to the public. Somebody submitted that article to dig.com. It was one of the first articles to actually get WLTC to appear on the front page of Dig, and it ended up with over 400 digs. But there was a number of people who complained about the link on dig.com for the article didn't actually the people were complaining that the Dig article was a link to the actual dev site announcement where 2.5 was released, and a lot of people on Dig ended up complaining, and eventually the Dig link, I don't know, Ronald, was it taken down or was it blocked or was it buried?
It was basically buried off the front page. But one of the commenters kind of brought up, like, hey, man, this was the first post even before the official post was out. What's the deal? But, you know, you can't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of blogs or a number of websites where they might have the scoop on a story, and those guys get to the front page of Dig no problem, and it doesn't seem to be that big of a problem with other people. I guess, I don't know, it just kind of ticked off the Dig user base this time around. But, well, so what did you guys think of his presentation in regards to using 2.5? And actually, along with the release of 2.5, he showed off the newly redesigned WordPress.org website, which when he showed a screenshot of that up on the projector, a lot of people were oohing and ahhing and kind of cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked his, what's in the future for WordPress 2.6 possibly. And I think maybe you asked such a question, Jeff, about what's in the future for 2.6. Is it going to be all automated as far as upgrade with WordPress within the platform and theme viewer and a plugin viewer within WordPress?
Right. I ended up, I believe the question I asked Matt Mullenweg was, if you take a look at the big picture here, you've got the theme repository for WordPress, then you have the plugin repository for WordPress, then you have your development repository for WordPress, and you've right now in 2.5, you've already got the plugin auto updater or auto upgrader, however you want to classify it. I believe in 2.6 is when they're going to introduce the WordPress core instant upgrader, and somewhere down the line, Matt Mullenweg kind of hinted at they're going to have something like the instant plugin upgrader, but for themes. So in the future, it looks like WordPress is going to be heading towards automation. I mean, it's not fully automated. You still need user input before the automation takes place. But I kind of told Matt, I said, you get to this point where you end users can click on a button and things are upgraded like that. I said, boy, that makes WordPress so much easier to use and upgrade from an end user's point of view. I said, that would be really nice.
Yeah, WordPress would become Gallery 2, but except like a lot easier to code for. But I think for 2.7, they're going to try to make it... Well, the issue with upgrading WordPress itself is that you have to delete WordPress before you can copy the files over. And do you... Should you delete WordPress if it fails? The current method would have the... All the entire code base on your server removed. And once you have that, you also remove what's going to copy the files over. And so that's an interesting problem to, I don't think it's going to be in 2.7. Probably be in 2.8. With 6 months of development time, testing, and everything.
Yeah, well, I believe when I was talking about the WordPress core upgrader, that I think it was Mark Jaquith who commented that there has been some instances in the past where people have upgraded their WordPress installation just by uploading the folder structure and kind of overriding what's already on their server, and sometimes the WP content folder will be overwritten, and it'll kind of overwrite your themes. It'll delete them, and you'll lose your content.
Yeah, you got to be careful to make sure you have the right FTP program. There's some bad FTP programs that don't handle this very elegantly, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
thinking Transmit for Mac. I mean, that overwrites your files automatically. You have to actually tell it, hey, don't overwrite my file, just merge them, please.
Yeah.
And there was actually a couple of bugs that were discovered right when 2.5 was released publicly. I can't remember off the top of my head what those bugs were. I think
the media uploader for IE7 was one.
Yeah, okay, yes, that was a bug. And was there actually a bug dealing with the plugin auto upgrader? I know during the live podcast you were kind of experimenting with that, Jonathan.
By the time the podcast was done, the auto upgrader was, I believe, 2-1-1. Two successes, one failure, and one it gave up before it even did anything. So I don't know if it's a bug. I don't know if it's a problem with certain plugins, but definitely it's not working consistently.
Well, the plugin has to be on plugins extend.
Yeah, and all the plugins were. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be able to pick up the fact that it's updated.
I don't think that might... Okay. I think it would be interesting. Would be interesting.
Otherwise, I don't think WordPress knows it's updated, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it also depends on the server and the host. I mean, a lot of people...
Yeah.
So, when you say have a core upgrade of WordPress, users will be really ticked off if they try that, and then all of their themes, plugins, and files are gone. That would be a disaster. Losing a plugin or two is, I mean, you can just re-download it. It's not going to take down your entire site, but...
No. And I only tested on plugins I had inactive anyway, so...
Well, we'll go ahead and talk about WordPress 2.5 a little more in-depth here in a little bit, but
yeah.
I want to go back to the WordCamp Dallas event, and I just want to kind of go down the line here and kind of ask everybody what was their favorite session. No, I'll go ahead and start off, and I think my favorite session, boy, you know, this is kind of tough because there were quite a few good ones, but I think my favorite, I don't know if I have a favorite. I really enjoyed the WordPress podcast that was recorded live. I really enjoyed that, and The panel dealing with the business of blogging with Mark Ghosh, Liz Strauss, and Aaron Brazel. I think that was probably my favorite session. I thought that was really unique, and there's a lot of good points and arguments made within that panel. But Jacob, why don't you go ahead and tell us what your favorite was, and you're not allowed to say your own.
Damn. I was going to say my own, but since, okay. I thought the one that the guy from One Man's Ball gave was, like, totally excellent.
Jonathan.
And I thought the one Jonathan Bailey gave was cool. And then there was Mark Jaquith gave one. Wait. The guy who gave WordPress tips. Whoever that was.
John Pozadzis, I hope I got that right. He did the session called 45 Ways to Power Up Your Blog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a very good session.
I think
the
last part of his session, like, just totally blew. It was like, I mean, he was not kidding at the beginning when he said we were in for a surprise. The last tip or whatever was a real treat to actually see what he had developed.
And just keep going down the line here. Ronald, which panel was your favorite?
Well, I'm kind of a little biased here, but I like Liz Strauss's panel the best, just because she's more in line to my niche, which is Reader Appreciation Project. And one of the things I was trying to get out of her, which I was very unsuccessful at, was trying to get her to give her an opinion on trackbacks. And I asked her the question, and I think you asked her the question too, Jeff, is, should trackbacks be separated from comments? And she kind of gave a response of, well, you know, do what you want. I'm like, that's not good enough. You're supposed to be the expert on this. Like, what do you really think about this? And does it interfere with the readers? Because the answer she gave was more on the lines of, well, it's good for a blogger. Trackbacks are really good for a blogger to find other websites and other people linking to them. And I'm thinking, well, what about the reader? What are trackbacks? How would a trackback benefit them? And she kind of, I mean, her answer disappointed me because it was more like, do what you want, do what you feel. But I really liked her session. She really provided some very thought-provoking statements as far as getting people to respond to comments and don't say everything. Leave stuff open for other people to respond. So that was my takeaway from Liz Strauss.
Well,
yeah,
I think a counter to that would be like asking a independent whether they are a Democrat and or Republican, and forcing them to choose either one. So I kind of see where she came from in her response.
I'm not for democracy. Come on.
who is? It's just a fad anyway, you know.
And you know, other than your own session there, Jonathan, which other panel came across as something that really struck a chord with you?
Oh man, the entire first day was such a powerhouse lineup. I mean, if you exclude me, everyone on that panel was incredibly well known and just gave an incredible speech. And it's very difficult to choose from anyone on the first day, though. I have to say, I really like John P's presentation. Who all is using Wooper right now? That was there right now. Who's currently playing with it?
I'm using it.
I'm using it too. So.
Yeah.
I got my invitation code. I'm really anxious to get it installed and play around with it because I was one of the only individuals who failed to bring a notebook computer. Therefore, I was. If I have to say, one of the biggest mistakes I've made while attending WordCamp Dallas was not bringing my notebook computer because everybody else had one. And I felt so far behind and out of the loop because I didn't have one. It was pretty crazy. But that Woopra, that just blew me away with the presentation of stats. And one thing that I noticed that I thought was awesome was the bottom ticker. It looked like a stock ticker, but it was it's a way to present stats to you, and it kind of flows along from right to left. I thought that was really cool.
It's truly an awesome experience. Me and my wife are both using it right now, and
it's addicting. I mean, you got to be careful. You can sit there and waste a lot of time just watching the pretty numbers. But so yeah, I mean, John P. really struck a chord with me. But like everyone else here, the panel, the business blogging panel, really was awesome too. And I guess I can say the WordPress podcast recording too, even though I was in on it, wasn't necessarily my session. So I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah, you know what I didn't like about the WordPress podcast being recorded live? That it wasn't longer. I mean, you know, just when we're getting really into the I don't want to say good stuff because the whole thing was good, but I mean, we were really starting to get on a roll there, and then we just had to cut it off due to time constraints. But that hour of the show just really flew by.
Yep, I was waiting for you to pipe up and say, "This is Jeff Chandler from WordPress Weekly. I have a question."
Supposedly before the podcast event took place, I was actually on the second or third floor. I was doing something with the artwork. I was one of the people just kind of going around browsing the artwork and checking out the building. And apparently while I was gone, Charles Strickland called my name out for the show. And when I came back, everybody was telling me, "Yeah, Charles was looking for you. He called you up there." I said, "Really?" So I don't know what was going on, but I think he was just kind of highlighting the fact that because of me something dealing with why he's gone weekly or tried to do a weekly podcast.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
in competition, Jeff.
Yeah, my favorite memory of that, though, was Matt Mullenweg hijacking my laptop.
he hijacked your laptop?
Yeah, it was so weird because when he was talking about other companies that use WordPress, I pulled up the WordPress.org page about it and turned the monitor so he could see, and just totally slid it to where he was and started working on it. And I'm like, dude, yes, you can borrow it.
I was surprised no one mentioned Nine Rules because that uses WordPress and WPMU. Like,
it does?
Well,
yep.
Uses WordPress, BBPress, and SimplePy for aggregation.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was getting MU and BBPress confused.
Yeah.
So did Matt Mullenweg actually type on your laptop there, Jonathan?
He typed on it. He worked on it for a few minutes, and then he found what he was looking for and then was able to answer the question. But I'm sitting there thinking, this is like a terrible POS laptop. It's horrible shape. Buttons are missing on it. I mean,
never wash that laptop again.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I think the fingerprints he left on are worth more than the laptop itself at this point.
How much do you think that laptop can go on eBay if you say Matt Mullenweg actually typed on it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to have to investigate that.
Oh, man. Before we get off the subject of WordCamp Dallas, Bata, his call has been dropping, but I wanted to let him get in here and give his two cents on his overall views of the conference and maybe give us his favorite session of the day or the weekend.
Oh, man, I really enjoyed when Rupa was announced. Oh, Rupa,
yeah,
how
it was awesome.
That? At first I thought it was a web app, and, you know, I thought just another web batch tracking web app, and I didn't think it was really that interesting. And then he pulled out that it was cross-platform and that you could actually talk to your visitors. And that's when it blew me away, and I had to download it and install it and try it out. And I really enjoyed that. And the panel for business blogging, that was also great. And last but not least, the Jacob Santos session, I enjoyed that.
So there you go, Jacob. You have at least one fan out there.
Just one. Thank you.
No, but, I want to go ahead and tell you that I talked with a number of people, and there were quite a few people interested in your session. It was quite interesting. I thought as I listened to it, I thought I began to understand more and more of what you were trying to do or trying to accomplish with these WordPress tests or test units. But apparently there were a number of people in the crowd whose ears were perked up, and they were really interested in what you had to say. There was some interest there.
That's fantastic. I didn't really think anyone, because like hardly anyone was there. So I mean, it probably skewed the ratio a little bit. But I'm glad people. Well, John P. asked a question. a lot of people ask the question, and I did not expect that, but to get such a response was, I hope more people, actually, afterwards, I got on to the hackers mailing list and wrote a, had an inquiry on whether, how many people actually use the automatic WordPress test, and that gathered some interest from people who had no idea that it existed, because it's not in the official WordPress repository. It's separate.
And, you know, as far as the event and WordCamp was concerned, this was my first conference ever. I actually made it a New Year's resolution for me to attend at least one conference, one tech conference, because everything is always somewhere near San Francisco. That's where everything seems to be, or Las Vegas. And, you know, and it costs quite a bit of money to fly from one coast to the other. And this conference WordCamp, you know, there were some people there that knew me. There's a lot of people I've interacted with via commenting on their blog or, you know, through the podcast, through emails, through all sorts of communication, but I've never met anybody face-to-face before. So, I mean, it was just an awesome experience for me to go down to this event where people knew me or wanted to see me in person and vice versa. And I just thought it was really interesting that all of the mental pictures I developed for a number of people that were down there were just completely wrong.
Yeah, same here.
You're not the only one.
And, you know, even though people had name badges, I didn't know that the guy who was tall and had the long hair, the long black hair, was Jonathan Bailey. I had no idea who he was. And, you know, it was kind of funny. You'd sit back, you know, in the back room and kind of wait until you heard somebody yell out a name and then see who would respond. That's how I was kind of figuring out who people were.
That's smart. I wish I had thought of that.
I had no idea looking at Jonathan that he was that guy. I did not imagine you to be, like, some really tall, massive person. Well, you know, I'm, like, 5'3", so you totally completely dwarf, like, a giant, pretty much, with long hair.
Me?
Yeah,
I realize I'm only 6 feet. I'm not that tall.
Yeah, I'm short, dude. I mean, I'm 5'3", so everybody above, like, 5'6", which is pretty much everybody, is a giant to me, so.
So, it was a really awesome opportunity for me because Matt Mullenweg was there, and I just want to kind of go over, you know, Matt Mullenweg and some of the automatic crew there. And I have to say that Matt Mullenweg handles himself very professionally, and it was very surprising to see him just kind of be really accessible. As it's just, he's a down-to-earth guy. If you ask him a question or you talk to him, he'll talk to you back, and he just loves to talk about it. I mean, WordPress and open source, I mean, it truly is his passion, and you can tell. He just loves talking about it, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with him to ask him some personal and unrelated questions that I just kind of wanted to ask him, and he answered every one of them, and he almost missed his flight on, I think it was Sunday, because he was standing around talking to all of us. He was taking pictures of us, and we were taking pictures of him, and we're just kind of talking and shooting the bull. And I just thought the entire experience was awesome. And did any of you guys get the chance to talk to Matt Mullenweg himself? You know, maybe shake his hand, or you know, what were your guys' impressions of this guy who was really the brainchild behind what we all love and what we all use and love, and that being WordPress. Well, you know, most of the people here love it.
You know,
Jeff. when I talked to Matt, I was really nervous, I'll admit. I asked him for a picture, and my voice is shaking a little bit, just because I've never met somebody I considered a celebrity before, and I consider Matt a celebrity just for my sake. So I got to talk to him a little bit, especially the last day we were there at WordCamp, and this guy was a very likable, approachable person. And just talking to Matt with you, Jeff, was just, you know, a priceless experience. I mean, you don't have those kind of situations every day where you can talk to somebody whose platform you love and He's just a perfect face of WordPress. He's just really likable, really approachable person.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough that Saturday lunch with the barbecue, I got in line pretty much right behind him, so I got to talk to him the whole time we were waiting in line. You know, so he's eyeing the food the whole time, but we're still talking. And my wife spoke with him Sunday and actually corrected a typo on a site. Because that's... And I would have stopped him and said, listen, don't take it hard, man. It's what I go through every day. mean, that's my wife. She's not scared of anyone, and she'll correct any mistake she sees. Got to love her.
And I believe she corrected
the mistake that I made. I said something, and then she repeated what I said, but the correct phrase. And so I'm just like, yes. But, you know, that's perfectly fine. I mean, I have no problem with people doing that.
She is my editor. She is used to correcting me, and that's a full-time job in its own right. But so I don't think she has an easy time slipping out of that mode.
Yeah, note to myself, find a lady who is a better writer than you.
I think I succeeded there.
Yeah, and it was, I got to meet and talk with Mark Jaquith, and that guy is unbelievably smart. Every time I looked at him, he was on his notebook. It always seemed like he was in the track. I mean, even when he's sitting there in the middle of a conference, you know, during all these keynotes and sessions, he's there going through the track and fixing bugs on WordPress. I mean, so these guys are really passionate individuals, and it was a blast to get the chance to meet and greet with all of them. And, you know, I thought the event that Charles put on with John and the rest of the volunteers, I thought it was put off very well. I mean, I've yet to hear any complaints about anything concerning the event. So close out our discussion of WordCamp Dallas. You know, I'd like to personally thank the city of Frisco, Texas, for accommodating us, for allowing us to have to do a WordCamp there in Dallas. I want to congratulate and thank Charles Strickland for his first successful WordCamp event, and I'd like to thank John P. of Layered Technologies for his effort and his volunteering of the time and getting guests together. And, you know, I'd like to thank all of the guest panelists, you know, Liz Strauss, Mark Ghosh, Aaron Brazell, everybody that was involved with putting this event on. You know, I just want to give out a hearty thank you for making it a streamlined and enjoyable experience. And if anybody has any thank yous to give out as well, you know, just go ahead and, you know, give out a thank you or two or something.
I think you covered most of it. It was just a great event all around.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Did you also say that Frisco was just a beautiful place? Because, I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that venue was awesome. That was just gorgeous.
I don't really know what the idea was behind the Frisco Bridges area. There seemed to be like Frisco brick bridges everywhere. I didn't understand the concept of that. But I mean, everywhere inside of downtown Frisco, the streets, the corners, the statues, the objects, the architecture, everything was just, you know, it was really classy, really well done. And so you know, that was WordCamp Dallas there in a nutshell. I had an awesome time and got to meet everybody here in person. Took a lot of pictures, and I actually this morning I spent 3 hours and wrote a post for weblogtoolscollection.com titled "In Case You Missed It." And what I've done is I've gone through the schedule of the conference, and I've linked to all of the Viddler videos or videos that Mark Risen from Mashable.com you streamed and recorded. I've also linked to presentations that have been given out by the speakers, such as Jonathan Bailey's slides that he used for his content theft presentation. So whenever this post actually gets published, if you go through all of the various links, it'll be like you went there. You'll see all the presentations and the slides. I think that'll be very handy for people to use.
like a virtual tour.
Yeah, like a virtual tour. And, you know, I just want to go ahead and round up the rest of the time here and kind of talk about WordPress 2.5. One of the first things I did when I got home was upgrade. So I downloaded WordPress 2.5. I did the overwriting of the files, did it the old-fashioned way, just FTP'd the new files and overwrote my old ones after doing a full backup, of course. And then it prompted me to do that the database needed to be upgraded. So I clicked a button that said OK, and I was greeted with this white admin screen that really didn't look correct to me, and I found out I had a feeling that it was the Barry's Technorati Reactions plugin, which added in the 2.3 branch dashboard, and added I guess you would consider it a widget area that showed me the incoming links via Technorati, and down below that was my Google blog search. So I ended up deleting that plugin, and my dashboard kind of went back to normal. And ever since then, I've actually used the plugin Auto Upgrader, and it's been flawless. I've used it on two or three different plugins, and it's been flawless for me. So I've had nothing but great experiences with 2.5 thus far. And just kind of go down the line here, and you know, have any of you guys experienced any major problems, minor problems, or anything of that nature?
Well, you're getting too excited. I downloaded and installed it directly and had a few problems. I think one of my plugins weren't happy with the upgrade, so I got a fatal error, and I was trying to get that fixed throughout the whole presentation. So besides that, it worked great, and I got to fix that problem. And actually, Mark Jaquist, he helped me out. He told me what specific file I needed to upload in order to reset the settings so that the dashboard would show up. So yeah, he helped me out, and that was great.
Yeah, every time I looked over at your laptop and you pushed the refresh button, I saw fatal error.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
And I was sitting there laughing. I didn't have a notebook, so I couldn't upgrade. I would have upgraded from the event myself, but I was thinking, man. But apparently there was a guy behind us. I don't know who his name was, but I guess he was experiencing the same error you did. And since we're
I think his name was
right
Hector, yeah.
Yeah, well, since we're sitting right next to Mark Jaquist, he just boom, 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 started going to work and started fixing files and told you which files you needed to upload.
Yeah, that was great. And note to myself, I'll make sure to back up my files before I do any more upgrading next time.
Mm-hmm. And we have Ryan. What's that?
You could switch to Subversion and just hit,
yeah,
like, type in SVN space up, and I mean, it's pretty sweet doing that method. Because it will delete the crap before you and then, you know, add everything. And I've been on that method since, 6 months at least.
Wait
That's
a minute,
great.
You can use Subversion for a stable release too?
That yes.
Was on trunk. Oh, okay.
No,
yes,
no.
They were related to the tags.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can check out one of the tags instead of trunk, and then you can do a SVN switch, I think, and then you can upgrade to 2.6 when it comes out. They'll have that a tag, and so you can check out that tag. But if you don't want to be on trunk, you can just check out tags, and it will. Or you can check out the branch, and then when 2.5.1 comes out, you can just do a Subversion up, and then all the fixes for that branch will be downloaded.
Nice. I'll do that in my next install.
All right.
Oh yeah, it's sweet.
I've added Patricia Mayo to the call, who we haven't heard from for quite a while now. And hello, Patricia. I've noticed that comhacker.org is it officially launched, or was it a soft launch?
It's just a soft launch for now. I also yesterday posted my very first podcast. I'm going to post the rest of it today, but basically all that I posted was the bloopers. And my lesson learned on that, don't try to install anything when nobody is awake.
Your comhackers.org website, have you upgraded it to 2.5? Is it running 2.5?
No. And I don't intend to mess with it until someone says, I'll install 2.5 on your site, and I'll make sure all your plugins work. Then I will upgrade to 2.5.
Well, other than the plugin I used that modified the admin dashboard, everything else works. I mean, I haven't had any problems.
I've had no issues at all with mine. I mean, I don't run that many admin modification plugins, though. In fact, I don't think I run any.
Given the fact that it took me, like, 6 hours to install PodPress, I'm not chancing it.
So I've also added Ryan what's-his-name from Australia to the show. Yeah, McHugh, the way he speaks to me over Twitter, I can disrespect him live on the show. But Ryan, you wanted to talk, and I imagine you have something to say in regards to 2.5 or 2.6, so go ahead and let us have it, and please don't get too geeky.
I sure do. I've upgraded all of my blogs to 2.5, and I've actually been having so much fun with the plugin upgrader. I've installed random old plugins that I don't use just so I can upgrade them.
You're awesome, dude. Hey, make sure to send any like failures to DD32 on the mailing list, because he can fix them for you.
Yeah, I will.
So are you saying that are you saying that your plug-in auto upgrader, have you had experienced any problems with it, or has it been working really nice for you?
It's been working really really well, and it's actually fun.
You know what? My thing
using that word.
My thing is with the auto upgrader for the plugins, is I'm on one of those hosts where you have to input your FTP settings. And I wish it was more, I guess I wish it would remember your settings more. And I also wish it was more Ajax-y, because it seems like you have to go to a different page, or maybe I'm doing it wrong. But each time you upgrade your plugin, you go to a different page and it says, well, okay, we're taking the download and we're removing the old plugin, we're putting the new plugin in, and now we're activating the new plugin. I mean, I don't see why that couldn't be all Ajaxed. I don't know. Maybe I'm just picky.
You are picky. Stop.
Yeah.
But one thing I have seen is I released a small update for Ajax at a comments yesterday. And usually when I release an update for a plugin, I get about maybe 200 downloads. And yesterday I had like 400. So I think that was partially due to the ease of WordPress now upgrading plugins. I'm pretty sure that's
I just installed the update myself, so.
We have another fan of WP Ajax Edit Comments here, huh?
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year now, I think. And it's funny, the day after WordCamp Dallas, four people asked me what that plugin was.
Yeah, that's been ever since I wrote a review on it, and people have looking up, you know, people have been searching in Google, Dig Like Comment Editor, which is exactly what his plugin is, and people come across my review. It's been one of my top most referral articles through search engines, and it's a very nifty plugin. I would really like to see something like that in the core of WordPress, or at least an option for people to be able to edit their comments.
There's too much overhead to the plugin. I think it'll always be a plugin. I highly doubt it would be core, because there's just so much involved in it.
Well, I like that and everything. I'm just saying, I think by default there should be an option for anonymous people to be able to edit their comments.
Yeah.
But I'm really, you know, there's back when we started covering 2.5 and the whole admin redesign and the color changes and, you know, various other musings and move arounds, a lot of people showed a lot of dissatisfaction for what they were seeing. And what they were seeing wasn't exactly a finished product. But judging by the I lost my track of word.
it seems like a lot of people nowadays have kind of warmed up to it and are a bit more excited about it.
Yes, yes. That's what I'm. That's what I was trying to thank
yeah,
you, Patricia, for saving the show.
I think they just don't know what they want.
Well, Jeff, you were telling me in private. Well, I don't know if I can probably say it now, but when you published that post on WebLog Tools Collection about WordPress 2.5, well, here's the development, and you said that people were kind of looking at it as a final release.
Well, I mean that's. In fact, I spoke with Matt Mullenweg about that specific post because that was one of the ones where he seemed kind of upset about it. I talked to him on the IRC channel, and the fact of the matter was, WebLogToolsCollection.com is just a blog that was in the dashboard. A lot of people see it, and when I posted a link to the demo, the WordPress demo site, and people logged in and they saw what they saw, and things were broken, and things looked the way they did. Too many people mistook that demo site as that's what they were going to be experiencing when 2.5 was released. And, you know, undoubtedly a ton of people left negative comments. And Matt told me that whenever something like that happens and they're getting a ton of negative comments on something that isn't completely finished, it's really puts a struggle on the core dev team because it's they're getting feedback on something that's not done from the general public. I don't know if you guys can understand what that means, but kind of like a bunch of bashing for something that is, I guess, not yet qualified for bashing yet. but from what I've noticed, a lot of people seem to be enjoying the new design. I think people are starting to come around and starting to enjoy how things are and how the things look and things of that nature. I've written a couple articles using the new right panel and how it's arranged. And personally, I like the way it's laid out. It's been working fine for me. Being able to drag and drop things from the bottom up towards the right where the white space is, isn't such a big deal to me anymore. I just kind of go through the steps, you know, title, post content, tags, category, and publish. And that seems to be all I need and all I use, and I can almost get all of that on the one screen. How have you guys fared with the back end and the design and the way you write posts? Is it have you not guys noticed that maybe it increases or decreases the time it takes to write up your post?
Well, it decreases, but I think to me it was always about someone moved the cheese and heart. And those people didn't want to move with the cheese. And so, like, with me, I immediately followed the cheese. But, I mean, with some other people, they had to, you know, wait until the cheese, until they wanted to follow the cheese and the cheese was starting to get low. I mean, but those other people probably going to wait until the cheese is gone before they start moving over.
Cheese.
Well, I have to say that was rather interesting there.
It was.
Well, no. Okay, there's this book called Who Moved the Cheese? And it's very fascinating because it deals with change and how you deal with change. And so you can either move with the cheese. But cheese is not really cheese. It's a concept of a ideal. And that you can... And how people actually move with the cheese. So, I mean, read the book.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at the guy laughing at you.
Is that Ryan?
I don't even know who that is.
That's me. All right, that's not much of the cheese
Ryan.
Anymore.
Yeah, piece of 15, so, you know, let's forgive him.
I like cheese.
Man, I love cheese, dude. The Swiss.
Well, other than there's been a few problems with WordPress 2.5, but I imagine they're going to be addressed here in 2.5.1. They're already working on things for 2.5.1, and there's already been a post by Ryan Boren specifying that they're already putting the changes into 2.5.1, and there should be a quicker turnaround to 2.6. I don't know how quick that turnaround is going to be because by the time 2.6 is released, I imagine quite a few people will be moaning and complaining about how they just upgraded to 2.5.
Yeah, they really can't win with a release cycle, can they? If they wait too long, everyone fusses, but if they do it really quickly, everyone complains too.
See, that's not going to be a problem anymore because of the automatic upgrader.
No. They do a release, a point release, every 3 months, and they try to do a minor release for the other, like, 2.5, 0.1. Will come out a month afterwards, and then by the time 2.6 comes out, be released or something like that.
Well, I know Ryan made a post on his dev blog. It was an announcement concerning that Automatic or the core dev team were considering modifying their release or roadmap schedule to compensate for the holidays, which really screwed up the dev time for 2.4, or the doesn't exist WordPress 2.4. That's why there's a 2.5. 2.4 was skipped due to it not being done, and they just decided we'll just go to 2.5. But as Jonathan said, you can't win with the dev cycle. I mean, you release these. It's great for me because when they release these point releases, it means that it contains security fixes and things of that nature, and upgrading for me is no problem. But, I mean, there's so many people who do all of these custom functions and custom work with their templates and plugins and what have you, that every upgrade is considered a nightmare to them. But as far as the WordPress core instant upgrader, Ryan, did you say that that's not going to be available in WordPress until 2.6?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 2.6 feature. It might make it into 2.5.1, though.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Oh,
I'll just
man.
See if I can find the ticket.
It's 2.7. 2.6 is going to include the feature. Well, hopefully it'll include the feature where you can peruse the plugin directory in your actual administration panel, and it will download and install the plugins from the administration panel. So it's taken a step further from not only upgrading plugins that you have, but installing it from the plugin directory. And then 2.7 hopefully will have the where WordPress is going to install everything. But talking to a DD32 about it, that seems to be the consensus. They want to make sure that everything is stable for the majority of people, because when you get to upgrading WordPress, the entire install, then you can't have the issues, or
it can't be like what happens sometimes with the plugins.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be perfect. It
every
has
time.
To be perfect. Yes. And so
I just took a look, and the automatic upgrade for core is going to be 2.6. It's the current milestone, but they might bump that up.
Oh man, I hope it's 2.6. That'd be awesome. But
you can already get it, man. WordPress automatic upgrade. That's a plugin that's going to be replacing it, if anything.
Yeah, you could download that too, but
That's how I upgrade 2.5 on my personal site. I use WordPress automatic upgrade.
Guys, calm down. Patricia has a question for us, so please.
Hold on. We don't want to hear from Patricia. Not yet.
In the new version, can you make a page where it doesn't show up on any menu without having to edit PHP? Because on my theme, I have an issue where I want to make a thank you page for the contact form, but I can't really do that without it showing up on my tabs in the top, and I don't really...
Yeah. Make it as a child of the contact page, and it shouldn't appear on the top.
Even if it's a child, it still shows up on my theme.
Well, then you need to set your theme to display only one level.
Yeah, but then she's talking about, like, an option in the administration panel. She would have to actually go into the code and change the WP underscore list underscore pages, the depth or level to 1 instead of 0. That's,
yeah.
That's currently the default.
Yeah.
Would really be that simple? Just edit
it to 1? Yeah, it's a array or string.
That's a string.
So,
it's a string. It's passed as a, like, the URL 1.
Okay, like, simplify this. All that I would have to do is find that little statement and change the 0 to a 1 and then save, and it would do it.
If
well,
the
it might not
is
even
a,
be.
Yes.
It might not
no,
even
no,
be.
You
answer.
Have to add. Sorry.
You might have to add it, yes, to the option.
Okay. That would
right.
be fun.
All right, and well, we'll continue on with that as soon as we get to the after show. We could probably talk about that instead of talking about theme piracy. But pretty much, what?
Nothing.
Oh, and we're pretty much reaching the end of the show here, so I kind of just wanted to go down the line here. But before we end the show, I wanted to extend an apology to Andrew Rickman and Keith Murray. I made a post on my blog about how I was going to take my digital voice recorder down to WordCamp Dallas, and for those of you who couldn't make the event, I was going to go around and ask questions that you would have wanted to ask to certain people. I did get a few questions to ask various people there at the event, but I just wasn't I just didn't like my audio setup. I didn't feel comfortable holding up this device into someone's face and getting someone to talk into it. I should have purchased a high-quality microphone to attach into the device, but I didn't. So I was unable to ask those questions. I did ask a number of questions of my own and from various people. And based on my – holy moly, TalkShoe's going crazy. Wow. But that's weird. But I'm going to be posting my experiences at WordCamp Dallas. I'm going to figure out after the show here a plugin that will allow me to group series of posts into a series and make a series of posts out of it. But so be sure to look forward to that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and end the show. I really want to thank Ryan McHugh for stepping in and giving us insight on as far as 2.6 is concerned and 2.5. I want to thank Ranalfi of RAProject.com and thank him for being the carpool driver and driving me and Patel around. We were baggage for him, and he didn't seem to mind. And let me tell you, he blended in with the Frisco drivers like it was nothing. It was pretty impressive. I also want to thank Patricia Mayo for stopping by. It's been a while since we got to hear her voice, and you can check out her recently soft launched website at www.comhacker.org. Patad Dunbar for stopping by, and okay, at the beginning of the show I said I had a story, and here's my story. I was supposed to leave Dallas on Monday, but my flight was canceled. So I ended up getting a free night stay in a Marriott hotel, which was in Irving, Texas, which was not too far from Dallas-Fort Worth. And as it turns out, when I got back to my hotel, got back to the Marriott hotel, it was about 5 p.m. in the evening time, and I was watching the news, and there was a tornado warning issued for the city of Frisco, and there was a tornado-worn thunderstorm moving right through Frisco at about 5 or 6 p.m. There was no damage reported, but guess who was there? Earlier that day, yeah, you guessed it, but Todd Dunbar, the same guy who somehow managed to bring in a tornado through Atlanta. So I find that rather poetic or ironic, whichever way you want to call that, but he seems to have a knack of bringing in tornadoes with him. So thanks for Todd Dunbar for stopping by. It was really cool meeting you. Jacob Santos, thank you for stopping by for the show. Your presentation was really interesting, and I'm going to have to look through your post, which details exactly what it is, because I'd like to get my head around it. I haven't been able to do that. And also, I'd like to thank Jonathan Bailey from PlagiarismToday.com. And Jonathan, I'll go ahead and let you, anything you want to plug, go ahead.
Just PlagiarismToday.com. I'm here to help if anyone has any issues with content theft, scraping, or anything like that. Just shoot me an email and I'll see what I can do.
Awesome. Thank you very much for being part of the show and keep up the great work on the WordPress podcast.
It's been fun. Thanks.
Thank you. And with that being said, if you have any feedback for this show or for me in general, you can send that feedback to feedback@jefffro2pt0.com, or you can leave a comment on the blog under the post dedicated to this episode. Let's see, next week, next Friday, April 11th, is going to be a big day for me and whoever shows up on WordPress Weekly because I will be interviewing Laurel Van Fossen. And if WordCamp was anything to go by as far as Laurel is concerned, it's going to be a blockbuster show filled with energy and tons of useful blogging information. And I'm really looking forward to that episode. So until next week, have a good weekend, everybody.